Sunday Chof Hei Kislev, Hiddubach Liebman, Chanukah.
Not as good as it was when he came back.
Let's start with a very basic question on the Yom Tov and Chanukah, and the sources of Chanukah. And then we'll give a very simple teretz, a very simple question. And we'll see whether that's enough, whether that satisfies us, or we have to go further. The Gemara in Shabbos famously starts the sugya of Chanukah with "My Chanukah." What's this about? Why is there a Yom Tov of Chanukah? And the Gemara says, "Kshenichnus Yivanim el Heichal," when the Greeks came in, they were metama all the oil. "Ukshigavru," and when the Chashmonaim overcame the Greeks, they looked around, they couldn't find any oil except for one small little bottle of oil, and that really would have lasted one day. It was a ness, 8 days. Therefore, Fikoch Kovum, Yom Tov Behalil Behoidor. So why do we have Chanukah? Because the Rebbein Shem made a ness with the menorah, and that's why we have the mitzvah of Hadlakas HaNerus, and that is Chanukah. My Chanukah, Nes Hashem. Then you come to the first tefillah, and it comes to Alanisim. And what do we say in Alanisim? Alanisim, Alagvuros, Alachois, Alamilchomos, Vesatik Berimad Chaloshim, Rabbi Mad Matim, Tuim Yatayim, Shom Yatzadikim. It's all about the Milchoma. What about the Nes of the oil? Not mentioned at all. Not a Zeichel. Doesn't say, and the Rebbein Shem made a Nes, and the oil that was only expected to last for one day actually burnt for 8 days. It's not mentioned. So what is the Ikar of Chanukah? Is it the Nes HaMilchoma, or is it the Nes HaShem? A simple answer to that question, Mechira, is a classic two dinim. There's two dinim in Chanukah, two in Yonim in Chanukah, two different aspects to the Yom Tov. And each one exists on its own, and maybe that's the two in Yonim that Gemara mentions. It's a Yom Tov of Halel v'Hoidah. Halel is not Hoidah, and Hoidah is not Halel. Halel is a sugya of Nes, Pirsume Nisa. The whole concept of saying Halel, the halach of saying Halel, is only on a Nes. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu does a Nes for a person, or for Klal Yisrael, then we say Halel. Halel means recognizing that there's a force completely beyond our experience in this world. Nes means that everything you thought is going to make sense, or does make sense, everything you planned, it's all gone, because it doesn't fit into any patterns. You know, we like to work things out for the Rebbein Shalom, like how he's going to help us, how he's going to save us, how our businesses are going to work out, how all our problems are going to be solved. But he doesn't need our help, because there's something else completely. Nes. Hayom ro'a vayonos. You know, you're working out, will we get the Egyptians this way, will we chase them that way, well, maybe there's no malchim. Hayom ro'a vayonos. There's a kriyas yams. Nes, when there's a real nes, you can say halal. There are other types of nisim nistorim, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls nature and things happen in what we call a miraculous way. It's incredible, but that's not a nes nigla. It's still within the realm of teva. I guarantee you that in the Greek newspapers of the time, there wasn't, you know, a great, there was this incredible miracle that the Jews, they had explanations. I'm sure that they had plenty of hesberim of why they lost this battle, why the riot is that they kept coming back for more. Right, if you lose hundreds and thousands of soldiers, elephants and all your tanks are just gone. You don't bring a new round if you know that it's Ness. They came back for more because they weren't Makkah that was Ness. So we didn't try hard enough. This time we're going to hit them even harder. If you're Maimin in Teva, if you live in a world where everything must be natural, then so long as it's within that miskeres, within that framework, you find the Teretz, you find the Yishuv. There's no Halel on the Milchama. You can't say Halel unless HaKadosh Baruch has revealed himself with a Nes Nigle. That's the sugya of Pirsumei Nisa, Hadlokas Haneiros, and that's the sugya in Shabbos. There's another sugya, not Halel, Hoidah, gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch. Gratitude has nothing to do with a Nes Nigle. Forget, gratitude is appropriate even when your emunah has just been challenged. We have challenges to our emunah. And I don't mean somebody getting ill. Like, how can such a thing happen to someone that I know? People I know can't get ill because they're all tzaddikim gemurim. I don't mean that type of challenge to emunah. I mean a real challenge to a person's emunah. person's successful. That's a challenge to emunah. A person's invested time and effort in a business, and he starts to see the fruits of his labor, and the investments start to pay off. That's a challenge to a person's emunah. Till now, he was just about, you know, making it, even just about getting to the end of the month and covering his bills, and now all of a sudden he starts feeling that the real tasting, that the geschmack of success is really doing well. Is really doing well. Suddenly, oh, you see? Wow, I'm amazing. The feeling that when we get success is a real challenge to our emunah. It's almost the opposite of a nes nigla. But the response has to be, the real response is to call upon the reserves of emunah that we already have and recognize it comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and experience hoidah. Just trying to separate between hoidah and nes. Hoidah isn't about building emunah. Hoidah is using the emunah that we have to feel a gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Whatever strategy it is that we've implemented, whether it's in chinuch, whether it's in parnasa, in other areas, when we're successful, not to say koichi v'yotzim yodi, but to recognize it's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And these two avodas are separate avodas. Hallel is seeing the Rebbeinu Shleilam and recognizing that he's completely beyond. Nothing to do with my plans in Olam Hazeh. Hoidah is realizing the Rebbeinu Shleilam does things to us because he cares for us, because he's kind to us. Hoidah means gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And again, Memela, the two sugyas have no contact, or no, certainly no kasher. We ask, why is it that the Gemara in Shabbos doesn't mention the Milchamos? Because that's not an esnigla. But then when we come and work on the gratitude of Chanukah, what are we grateful for? What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do for us? He made these wars, and we won, and we overcame the Yevonim. So the Hoidah, L'chaira, is a Hoidah about the wars, not about the Ner Chanukah. Ner Chanukah was a chance to do a mitzvah. But Hashem told us to do a mitzvah. We tried our best and he helped us. Shalva, I hope so. Unless you're on a very high madrega, you're not going to feel gratitude for that. Gratitude is when he helps me, when I'm fighting a war, and he helps us win. So the Hoidah of Al-Anisim, which is all about Hoidah, it comes in the bracha of Moedim in Shemone Ezra, in the bracha of Noedah Lecha in benching. Hoidah is Milchama. Halil is Nes Hashem. Simple answer. The question is that enough? Is that true? Is that right? Have we split them correctly? Sounds like it. Halel Hoidah. But is it as simple as that? Are they as unrelated as we're making it seem? When you get to the Chanukah Neiros, then things don't quite fit into the pattern. Something starts to get a bit not quite perfect. It's not as neat as we'd like it to be. Because after the Chanukah Neiros, we say Aneiros Alonu Onu Madlikim Al Anisim Vala Niflois Vala Chois Vala Milchomus. One second. This is Neiros Chanukah. Neiros Chanukah is Hallel. Why are you mixing in Hoidah? Why are we talking about the Nesa Milchama? If the Milchama really was the gratitude we feel to Hakadosh Baruch Hu, not the Gilui of Nes. Neiros Chanukah are about Pirsumei Nisa, about recognizing the Metzius of Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Not so much about the Hoidah on the Milchamas. And perhaps even stranger is that there seems to have been a mokum to bring the Neiros Chanukah into the Hoidah. What do we say at the end of Al-Anisim? We say that Achakim bo banecho ledvir beisecho, ufinu eseicho necho, v'tiaru es mikdoshecho. The Yin came back and they sorted out the Beis HaMikdosh, and then what? Then they brought the Korban Tomid, and then they were the Makdei Keteres. No. V'likun Neiros b'chatzris kodshecho. We get back to the menorah. So it seems the menorah is not completely foreign to Al-Anisim either. But it's frustrating. If you're already mentioning the menorah, v'likun Neiros b'chatzris kodshecho, could you not have mentioned the Nes? It seems again, the Nes is not the point, but the menorah is the point. How do we understand that? What do you think in Al-Anisim? The final point of Al-Anisim is V'hliku Neiros b'chatzris kodshecho, and then B'kovu Shmoy Nes Mechanuk Eilu. Not so much the Nes HaMenorah as the Hadlokas HaMenorah. It seems the two are linked, but it's not a simple link. There must be some connection. We have to try and work out what that is. There's one very famous Mahalach of Nes and Teva, Nes Nigla, Nes Nista, which also would explain a chelik of the link, but it's in Kamakoma, not for now, some other time. We're through that connection between the Nes HaShemen and the Nes HaMilchomes. I'd like to look at something else, to look at a very famous shtickle, the Bach, on the tour at the beginning of Hilchas Chanukah, because I think that tells us something about what Chanukah means to us, what's expected of us over this Yom Tov, and how almost everything ties together to become part of one Yom Tov, one Chanukah. The Kasha, the Kasha that's dealt with by other Peskim, the Mishnah Berurah brings down the Kasha from the Levush with the Teretz. The Levush asks, why Chanukah is different to Purim? On Purim it's Poshet, that the Ikka of Purim is that we sit down and we have a Suda's Purim, and we celebrate the Yom Tov with a Suda. A Suda, there's Achila, Shtir, plenty of Shtir, and we get into the Ruach of the Yom Tov with a Suda. We have a Suda every Yom Tov. Every Yom Tov has a Suda. Purim is a particularly Lebedig a Suda, it's a Mishten, not just a Suda, but that's how a Yid celebrates a Yom Tov. You celebrate a Yom Tov, everybody gets together, and we eat and we drink. Fret the Levush, why is it when it comes to Chanukah, the Shulchan Aruch paskens that there's no Din Suda? Chanukah parties, there's all sorts of yeshuvim. Yeah, if you do it with Shiros, with Sishbachos, or you say Divrei Torah, there's all sorts of ways to turn the Chanukah party into some sort of a Suda's Mitzvah. Maybe because Chanukah, besides for being the Yom Tov of the Chashmonaim, also represents the Chanukah HaMizbeach in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu when they finished the Mishkan but didn't actually consecrate it. And that's why we have Suda's. But Chanukah itself has no Suda. For the Levush, why not? And the Levush has a Mahalach, and Shemura brings it. But the Bach expands this Mahalach and changes it quite a lot. The simple answer is Purim was a physical Yom Tov because the Goyim want to kill our Guf. Chanukah is a Ruchnistig Yom Tov because the Goyim want to kill our Neshamas, want to stop us keeping Torah. And therefore we celebrate Purim with a physical Suda and Chanukah with a more Ruchnistig celebration. Which is interesting. It's a very interesting teretz. And I understand why the Bach may not have found this satisfactory. The sugya here of Suda is that a Yid celebrates Simcha with Suda. A Suda represents Simcha. It can be Shabbos, it can be Yom Tov, can be Chanukah, it can be Purim. A Suda l'chera represents Simcha. Now, why are we Sameach? It doesn't matter why we're Sameach. We have Sudas all sorts of times. We have a Suda to Pidgin HaBen, and we have a Suda to Bris, and we have a Suda to Bar Mitzvah, and we have a Suda to Chasana. Does that mean that at the Pidgin HaBen we have to eat coins? Or that a chasana we have to, eat something that... We eat chicken at both chasanas, right? And if both sudas, and if you have four in a week or two, it's enough schnitzel, enough. It's the same menu every time. Aye, Monashech, what's this about? Doesn't matter what it's about. What it's about is a prat. The sources of simcha. I'm sameach because of a bris. I'm sameach because of a chasana. This time it's a bar mitzvah. Next time it'll be Yom Tov. But the point is, we celebrate with a suda. So if a Yom Tov drabonon, such as Purim, is celebrated with a suda, then Chanukah, albeit that the simcha of Chanukah is about our tzol ruchnis, but you're happy. You want to get together and celebrate. Sit down to a suda. Hashtag or. So the Bach, it goes much, much further than that. And in fact, Bemis, the Bach is as nagiah to Purim as it is to Chanukah. But not everyone's scared to say it Purim time. So when you hear the Bach properly Purim time, people wouldn't make you very popular to talk about the Bach Purim time. So it's only spoken about Chanukah. But Emma's, if you ever get to the Bach, learn it. It's as kedai to learn it on Purim as it is to learn it on Chanukah. But the Bach Shtil Zavek, a Yisoid, let me tell you my way. I think it's Be'eruch what the Bach is saying. You can go check it up and see how accurately this reflects the words of the Bach. But the Bach seems to be coming off a difference in the essence of the Golus. The Golus of Paras and Modai in the times of Purim, and the Golus of Yavon at the times of Chanukah. And this, says the Bach, affects five different aspects of the story. If you follow the story of Purim, you see very clearly from the Gemaras, from the Megillah, that there were a number of stages in this story. You always wonder when you start the Megillah. The Megillah starts with a whole arichus about the Suda of Achashverosh, and there's a mandama in the Gemara that that's not the Ikka Kriyas HaMegillah. The Ikka Kriyas HaMegillah should start Achad Dvarim O'Ela Gidel HaMelech HaShomo many years later. Why do you have to start with the Suda of Achashverosh? Maybe you could start with the death of Vashti, but the whole arichus about the Suda, Pasha Pshat, maybe the Gemara says, what did Klal Yisrael do wrong at that time? They were Nene Mesudose Shalai Sarosha. They had pleasure from the Suda of Achashverosh. So everything starts with Klal Yisrael stepping out of line. There's a chet. If there's a chet, if you fall into the Golus, the Revenge responds with a Gezerah. Right? There was a chet of Nene Mesudose Achashverosh. What was the Gezerah at the time? HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided, Lehashmid, Leharig, Leabid, Kol HaYehudim. So what did Klal Yisrael do? They fasted. They fasted for 3 days. What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? He saved them. Sent Mordechai, hung Haman on the tree, and he saved them. Get back into Golos Paras HaModai. What's the challenge that Paras HaModai represents to Klal Yisrael? So at the Bech, the challenge then was Nenu Mitzudas HaKashverish. If you look at the Inyonim of Paras HaModai, they were so involved in Gashmius that it's beyond our comprehension even today. Have you ever heard of anybody who makes a party for 3 weeks running? 3 weeks running. B'li Hefzik, B'li Hesach Hadas. 3 weeks straight. Achashverosh's party was for 6 months. 6 months, one long party. They had musogim, these parasim. I mean, Achille, Ashtia, Kadas, the details of the wine being the same age as the person, Dakusen and Edelkeiten, that we're not used to. It's a sugya of Olam Hazeh. And Klal Yisrael at that time had a challenge. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us a body? Why did he give us taste buds? What's it for? What's Olam Hazeh for? Is it an end in itself? Or is it a means to an end? And when they went and they were Neneh Misudas Achashverosh, they took pleasure from Achashverosh's Suda, they were abusing the body that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had given them. And he said, if that's so, you don't appreciate it, well then you don't deserve it. You don't deserve it, I'm going to take it away. The Gzeirah of Haman was saying, if that's what the body is to you, then I'm sorry, you can't have it. So he's about to take the guf away. And what do Klal Yisrael say? We'll do tshuva. What's the tshuva going to be? We know how to use the guf. V'tzumu alai, they fasted for 3 days to show we're not involved in the guf. We're not running after Taivas, Lashem Taivas. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, if you really know how to use the guf, if you know how to use your physical body, then I'll give it back to you. And Mordechai saves us. And now comes the crunch, says the Bach. So if we've just managed to extricate ourselves from Golus Paras HaModai, we know now that our guf is not a guf that's to be used just for physical pleasure. What is it for? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us the guf? Because if you eat and drink with your guf, you can use it to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we celebrate with a suda that is all about living the guf correctly. That's the sugya of Sudas Purim. Ein kam mekoimu. Remember that, Purim. The suda of Purim is not celebrating the ness. The suda of Purim is showing that we know how to use our guf correctly. We're not sunk into the tumah of Golos Paras HaModai. And here comes a chiddush otzum of the Bach. If that's true in Purim, then we have to have the same in Chanukah. We're going to have the overall understanding of Golus Yavon, and we're going to have to go through these five stages. What Klal Yisrael did wrong, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded with a gzeira, how Klal Yisrael did tshuva, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu then saves them, and they find the appropriate expression of that salvation. What is it? The Bach is famous, but it's a really chiddush. Because if we'd ask what Golus Yavon is about, we'd come up with lots of answers. And he has a very clear, concise answer. What about Klal Yisrael did Yavon not like? Where did they set up their attack? Where was everything focused to war? What were they against? One word, avodah. What avodah means? A sugya. Maybe we'll have time to get back to that. But the sugya that Yovan was against was avodah. It's not the Bach. Nobody really says it. You'd have to look far and wide to find a makor for what Klal Yisrael did wrong in that generation. It's not clear. The Bach tells us, Nisrashlu ba'avodah. Avodah wasn't so important to them. Yeah, I'm sure, yeah. They came to the Beis HaMikdash, they did korbanos, but Nisrashlu, you know, our equivalent would be avodah is tefillah. We have tefillah. Yeah, we daven. We all daven, but Shal is what happens during Shemoneh Esrei. You know, where do we go during Shemoneh Esrei? How far do we visit during Shemoneh Esrei? There was a Yid who had tzoros with his porets, right? You heard the story? How the Yid has tzoros with his porets? Kitzur, one of these stories, and because this was such a common occurrence, there's so many stories about it, but Nebuch, he couldn't pay his rent, so he came at the end of the year and he said to the porets, please, you must understand that I've been struggling. And the porets said, you've been struggling. Not only have you not paid your rent, I've been supplying you with food and wood and whiskey and beer, and that's also part of the bill. He says, I know, just keep a cheshbon and you'll see next year I'll pay you for both years. Kaporos, the second year was just as hard as the first, and it came to the porets again and said, Mamash, you must understand it's because of the heavy snow. And the second year was like last year, but you'll see next year I'll pay you for all 3 years. He said, there's a cheshbon here, you've got to add up all the supplies. I know, just keep a cheshbon, I'll pay you at the end of the third year. And of course at the end of the third year, not much better, and he gets a message from the porets. He says, you'd better be here on the 29th of December, or else if you're not here, I'll come and fetch you, and you're going to go into my dungeon for as long as it takes your family to put together the rent that you owe me. Shekita, a panic, and he borrows and he begs, and he manages to get together just enough for a year and another 50 ruble. Better than nothing. He puts his tachrichim on under his clothes, and he goes to visit the porets, and his wife and his children are saying to him, Mamash, b'chiyas l'irois, they're crying their eyes out at home. And he comes to the porets' home, and it's a Sunday, and he walks in there, and the porets is a little, you know, not so sober yet, still hanging over from last night, and there's a bottle of schnapps on the table. And the porets says, Moshka, right, let's make a cheshbon. And a kitzah, he makes a cheshbon, and he makes two columns, one of the Yidos, him, and one of the small pittances he's paid over the years. And then he gets mixed up when he adds up the columns. And he adds the wrong one, subtracts the wrong one from the other. And it turns out, he says, chutzpah, you dirty Jew, well, I owe you money as well! Guys are screaming and cursing, and he runs over to the safe and he opens it up and takes a wad of bills and he throws it at the Eid. He says, take this and go, I don't want to see you again. And he comes running home, Anes, Mamash Anes, Mamash Anes. And he says, well, Lady Dick, not only do I have my money, I also have new money. Pilei Pilei. And what does she say? What does a good wife say in such a situation? Yeah, you think he's so good? You think he's so smart? Yeah, 2 or 10 minutes' time, he's going to chap what's happened. You know, over the day, he'll think it over. And then what's going to happen? Then he's going to get you and he's going to torture you to death. He's not just going to throw into his dungeon. He walked off with his money. And she says, no, he was so angry, he took the whole cheshbon, he threw it into the bonfire. And she says, yeah, you watch. Kid said, he got all depressed and he went running to his Rebbe, the Rebbe Tolna. And he says, Rebbe, do you know, I just realized that I thought I had a massive yeshua, and now I just thought, you know, what's this guy is going to, during the day, he's suddenly going to chap, what's going on? And then, and the Rebbe says to him, Zanish kena, do you think the guy davens Shemoneh Esrei? When's he going to rethink it? Don't worry about it. That's Nisrash. I think about Nisrash leba'avodah. Nisrash leba'avodah, yeah, we're davening, yes, it's a titzach atfilah, but what else goes on during davening? So the Bach, at the time, avodah was represented by the Beis HaMikdosh. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Klal Yisrael, if you don't appreciate avodah, if nisrashlu ba'avodah, then you don't deserve it. The Yevonim came to take away avodah because we didn't appreciate it. So what's our response got to be? What's the tshuva for nisrashlu ba'avodah? So the Bach, the tshuva was, mosru nafshom ala avodah. They were meisa nefesh. When the Chashmonaim went to war, they didn't go Almanas to win. They didn't think they were going to win. They went to be Maisa Nefesh. They gave up their lives for the Avodah of the Beis HaMikdash. So the Bach, you gave up your lives for Beis HaMikdash. If that's the case, you deserve to get Beis HaMikdash back. Again, the Yovan is a Golus that attacks Avodah. Stage one, our Chet was Nisrashlu b'Avodah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds with a Gzeira against Avodah. We're Moisa Nefesh al Avodah. The Rabban Shalom responds by returning Avodah. And how do you make a Yom Tov? What's the Zikorin of that? A Yom Tov of Avodah, says the Bach. The Yom Tov of Chanukah is a Yom Tov of Avodah Shebelev. That's the whole sugya of Chanukah. Kovum the Yom Tov Behalil Vahodah. It's not a Yom Tov. And because it's a Yom Tov, there's a din that you say Halil. And because it's a Yom Tov, so we mention it Shemini Esra, and we happen to mention Al-Anisim. It's a Yom Tov of Halil Vahodah. It's not about Sudas. There's a din Suda on a Yom Tov Drabonon. Purim has a Suda, because that represents the whole Avodah of Purim. Chanukah, the Suda of Chanukah, the Avodah of Chanukah, is Halil Vahodah. It's not Zaitik, it's the essence of the Avodah. And Emes, if you think about it, it changes the whole approach to what the battle was, what the war was about. The Milchama of Yavon, what were they against? It brings an interesting medrash. The Yavonim were told, when you go into the Beis HaMikdash, the soldiers were told, make sure you get hold of the menorah and stop it. We're told, you know, there was no oil left. Why was there no oil left? Because there were a bunch of vandals, these Greeks. They came in, they smashed everything inside, and of course all the glass bottles went down the drain, and they were smashed. It's not true. The Gemara says that they were metamei the shemen. They didn't smash it. They went around consciously being metamei the shemen shebeichol, because they wanted to cancel the menorah. The menorah represents avodas Hashem. It represents connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and brings the light of Torah into Olam Hazeh, and we're mekabel it. It's an arichus b'fnei atzmo to work out how menorah represents Avodah, when menorah represents Torah. But just in one sentence, there is Torah in the Kodesh Kadoshim, in the Orim, in the Luchas. There is Avodah in the Mizbeach, with the Korbanos. The menorah is the point where Avodah and Torah meet. It's an Avodah, menorah is Kule Avodah, but it also represents the light of Torah. And that means that he's living with a connection to something higher, connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And let's just summarize technically and conceptually why there might be a connection between Halil and Hoidah. Simply speaking, when the Chashmonaim went out to fight, what were they fighting for? Were they fighting for freedom? Were they fighting for independence? Were they fighting for the national glory, having a land? Not at all. That wasn't their milchama. For that, they could have stayed home and joined the Greeks. What they were fighting for was Mosru Nafsho Mal Avodah. What's Avodah? What's represented? What represents Avodah? Menorah. They were fighting to get back Menorah. The war of the Chashmonaim was a war of Mesirus Nefesh for Menorah. And what happens at the end? How does HaKadosh Baruch Hu respond? He helps us. He gives us Nisim, Masarta Giborim Yad Chaloshim. We overcome an incredible army. We enter the Beis HaMikdash and we clear up. Have we won the war yet? We start bringing a Korbanos. Have we won the war yet? No, not yet. When do we know we've won the war? When we get back that which we were fighting for. What were we fighting for? Menorah. Grada, the Rebbein Shalom showed us that he appreciated the Mesirus Nefesh. The Rebbein Shalom showed us how meaningful, how close he felt to the Mesirus Nefesh for Avodah by giving us a ness of Avodah, giving us a ness in the Menorah. So when we light the Menorah, what we're really celebrating is the fact that the Rebbein Shalom, through the wars, gave us back the Menorah. V'yachah came bo b'necho l'dvir b'secho. Good. Fine. We're not yet there. When we got back Menorah, then we can celebrate Chanukah. The Hoidah, the gratitude is the Rebbein Shem gave us back the efsharus to light the menorah, and it means our avodah for these 8 days is halel v'oidah, to build a new connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the excitement of halel, the gratitude, the warmth, the closeness of hoidah is what brings the yid during the Yimei Chanukah closer and closer to Mishav Zecha, to Taka Havazos Chanukah and Oz Egmer Shir Mizmer Chanukah Samizbeach B'mehir V'yamin. Sure.